This program is brought to you by ICERM Radio, a project of the International Center for Ethno-Religious Mediation, New York.
Visit www.icermmediation.org to make a donation or join our membership.
My conversation today is something that we are told never to talk about in polite conversation. So even though it is an election year, I'm not going to talk about politics or money. And even though it would be way more exciting, I'm not going to talk about sex either. Today, my topic is religion, and specifically the relationships that we have with people with different beliefs than us. I'd like to start off with a little bit of my story and why I'm invested in this work. And then I'd like to share with you how brave students at Colorado State University are crossing faith and belief lines to change the stories we most commonly hear about religion in America. In my life, I have occupied a variety of seemingly contradictory religious identifications. In the most concise summary possible, until the age of 8, I had no affiliation, and then I was swayed by a great donut at my friend's church, and I quickly decided that church was my thing. I was drawn in by people singing together, participating in ritual together, and genuinely trying to make the world a better place. I proceeded to become a devout Christian, and then later on, specifically, a Catholic, and soon my entire social identity was rooted in my Christianity. I could be found at church several times a week. I helped to bring about a peer ministry program at my high school, and together with my peers, we served our community in a number of beneficial ways. Great stuff. But here's where my spiritual journey starts to take a little bit of an ugly turn. For many years, I adhered to a very fundamentalist practice. I began to pity non-Christians and negate their beliefs and values altogether, and in many instances, upon knowing people for just a few minutes, attempted to outrightly convert them. I was saving them from themselves. Unfortunately, this type of behavior was praised and rewarded, and I'm a firstborn child, so that just fueled my flame. A few years later, I was gifted with an awesome spiritual experience that many of us have a few times in our lives, although this one was a little bit different. I experienced a very profound deconversion experience when I became acutely aware at how narrow-minded and narrow-hearted of a person I had become. This brought on feelings of betrayal, confusion, and following the great pendulum of life, you'll notice this a lot in my story, I proceeded to blame religion for not only my own wounds, but all the evils in the world. 10 years later, after leaving religion running and screaming, I found myself craving church again, which was a bitter pill to swallow because I identified as an atheist. Talk about some cognitive dissonance. But after some reflection, I realized that what I was craving was what I had found as an 8-year-old. A supportive group of people who met regularly and genuinely were invested in making the world a better place. 30 years after I ate my first church donut and traveling through a very confusing, complex spiritual journey that I'm still on, obviously, I currently identify as a humanist, which means I affirm human responsibility to live an ethical, moral life capable of adding to the greater good of humanity without the assumption of a God. Essentially, humanism is the same as atheism, but with a very important moral imperative thrown in. Believe it or not, I'm a churchgoer again. Church looks a little different than it used to. I gather together regularly with a group of supportive folks, eclectic folks. I found a new home in a Unitarian Universalist church, right beside people who identify as recovering religious, born-again Christian, pagan, agnostic, humanist, atheist, Jewish, the list goes on and on. We are bonded not by creed, but by value and action. The reason that I share this journey with you is it was because of all of these spaces that I occupied throughout my religious life that I was inspired to help bring about an interfaith cooperation program at Colorado State University. So there's my story. Here's the lesson. Religion encapsulates humanity's best and worst potentialities. But it is our relationships with one another, and truly the relationships that we have with people of different beliefs than us, that make all the difference in the world. Here in U.S. America, compared to other industrialized nations, we are a very religious nation. 60% of Americans identify that their religion is very important to them. So we have a large number of people genuinely invested in adding to the greater good. In fact, half of all of our nation's volunteerism and philanthropy are religiously based. On the other side, we have a group of people who unfortunately have experienced religion as a source of abuse and oppression. Historically, we've seen many ways that religion has been used to subjugate people in every nation. And what we're seeing right now in the United States is a shifting and a divide between folks who identify as religious and those who do not. And there's a great tendency between this great divide to blame one another, to perpetuate stigmas about one another, and most damagingly, to isolate ourselves from one another, which only exacerbates the divide. And this is an unfortunate snapshot of our culture. I'd like to take a moment right now and introduce you to the other side of this divide, which is the fastest growing religious demographic in America. This group is often referred to as spiritual but not religious, unaffiliated, or even my favorite, the nuns. This is a catch-all group which includes folks who identify as agnostic, atheist, humanist, spiritual, pagan, or nothing in particular. 1/5 of all U.S. Americans and 1/3 of people under the age of 30 identify in this category, which is the highest percentage in Pew Research history. 70% of U.S. Americans identify as Christian. As I just mentioned, 20%, just a little over 20%, identify as unaffiliated, leaving 10% who identify as Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, and several others. It is no surprise that we carry around stigmas about all of these categories. And it's those stigmas that often keep us from thinking we have anything in common with those others, right? I can speak to this personally because in preparation for this talk, I've had to come face to face with some of the stigmas that I have about myself in this identity. I've had to face shame. Shame that I have now switched my affiliation from the majority, and I now identify with those who I at once objectified, pitied, and outright bullied. Fear that I have let down my parents and the community that raised me, and fear that I have lost credibility with my religious friends. And in facing these, I realize how I always throw an extra little bit of zeal into my interfaith efforts. Just in case you find out about my identity, you'd kindly overlook it due to all the good work that I do. Now, I didn't mean to turn this talk into a religious outing. This type of vulnerability is very frightening. Ironically, I've been a public speaking teacher for the past 12 years. It's my job to teach people how to deal with their public speaking anxiety. But right now, in outing myself to you as a non-Christian, I am literally at a fight or flight level of fear. But that only underscores the importance of the message, I feel. So I encourage you, wherever you find yourself on either side of that divide or on the spectrum anywhere in between, to honor your own beliefs. They are very important. They help you make sense of the world. But also to realize the stigmas that you have about the other And most importantly, don't let those beliefs and stigmas keep you from crossing those faith and belief lines and engaging with other people. It's not in our best interest, either individually or collectively, to stay in those places of isolation and blame. So let's look at how we can begin to respectfully engage with one another. Essentially, interfaith cooperation relies on the principle of pluralism. And a national organization called the Interfaith Youth Corps that champions interfaith cooperation, particularly on higher education campuses, offers us a definition for religious pluralism. Three main components. The first is respect for people's diverse religious and non-religious identities. Mutually inspiring relationships between people of different beliefs, and common work for the common good. Interfaith cooperation is the practice of religious pluralism, and it teaches us a new set of skills so we can move beyond mere tolerance of one another. It teaches us a new language, and with it we can begin to rewrite the stories that we most commonly hear about religion in America. So I'm excited to show you a success story of how this is happening on my campus at Colorado State University right now. I am an instructor in the communication studies area. So when I became passionate about this area, I approached several departments at my public state institution and asked for support for the creation of an interfaith cooperation course. And it took a while. But in 2015, our campus's Living Learning Communities accepted my offer. And I'm delighted to say that last semester, two interfaith classes were piloted at Colorado State University, enrolling 25 students. These students who self-selected into this program as freshmen identified all across the board. They self-identified as evangelical Christian, kinda Mormon, cultural Catholic, agnostic, ex-Anglican, and atheist. I think I got them all. Salt of the earth people, every single one of them. Together, we took field trips to Islamic and Jewish houses of worship. We invited guest speakers into our class to share their struggles and joys with us. And we also fostered moments of much-needed understanding. Two of my very good friends from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came into our class and answered every single question that my group of 19-year-olds could throw at them. This does not mean that we left in agreement at all. But it means that we left with a greater genuine understanding of each other's values and beliefs. And the world needs more of that. Students were also encouraged to answer tough questions like, do all religions boil down to the same thing? No. Or where do we go in a conversation once we've just understood that we can't both be right about something? Together, we also served in cooperation with a group of student faith-based groups on our campus. These students pulled off a wildly successful interfaith Thanksgiving celebration. With financial support from our local Fort Collins Interfaith Council, these students cooked a kosher, gluten-free Thanksgiving meal with vegan options for 160 people. At the end of the semester, I asked students to comment on their experience throughout the course, and I'd like to share three of them with you. One student, one of my Muslim students, mentioned that she was surprised how many atheist people there were. She confessed that she didn't know that atheist people would look just like her. She thought they'd look more like a mad scientist. Another student confessed that he was so angry at some of his fellow students for some of their beliefs. But he didn't stay in that place of anger. He transformed it to self-reflection so that he could understand how biased he was about his own beliefs. And my last student eloquently said, the interfaith cooperation taught her how to live on the bridge between religions instead of on the far side of one of them. In the end, these programs were seen as very successful from the eyes of the students as well as administration, and I'm happy to say that they've been given priority to expand in the next few years. I hope I've inspired you today that contrary to popular belief, religion is something that we need to talk about. As the Interfaith Youth Corps states, we are better together. And it's when we realize that people of every spiritual belief are doing their best to live moral and ethical lives and adding to the greater good of all of us, there's where the story begins to change. There's where the stigmas begin to fall. So I invite you, make a friend. Make a friend with somebody of a different belief than you and begin to change that story. And don't forget the donuts. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to ISERM Radio, a global peace network dedicated to promoting inter-ethnic and inter-religious cooperation.
For complete information about the shows, including previous podcasts, visit the ISERM Radio website, www.isermmediation.org.
Stay connected. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And let your friends and colleagues know about us. Join us next time for another edition of ISERM Radio.
Peace to our world.